Evans was looking at the chest now, trying to recall the pattern of chest hair that Morton had had. He'd seen him often enough in a bathing suit, but the bloating, the stretching of the skin made it difficult. He shook his head. He could not be sure it was Morton. "Are you done yet?" Bradley said. "Yes," Evans said. The drape went back on, and they walked out. The technician said, "Lifeguards in Pismo made the discovery, called the police. The police ID'd him from the clothes." "He still had clothes on?" "Uh-huh. One leg of the pants and most of the jacket. Custom-made. They called the tailor in New York, and he confirmed that they had been made for George Morton. Will you be taking his effects with you?" "I don't know," Evans said. "Well, you're his lawyer." "Yes, I guess I will." "You have to sign for them." They went back outside, where Jennifer was waiting. She was talking on her cell phone. She said, "Yes, I understand." "Yes. Okay, we can do that." She flipped the phone shut when she saw them. "Finished?" "Yes." "And was it?" "Yes," Ted said. "It was George." Evans said nothing. He went down the hall and signed for the personal effects. The technician brought out a bag and handed it to Evans. Evans fished in it and pulled out the shreds of the tuxedo. There was a small Nerf pin on the inside pocket of the jacket. He reached in and came out with the watch, a Rolex Submariner. It was the same watch Morton wore. Evans looked at the back. It was engraved GM 123189. Evans nodded, put it back in the bag. All these things belonged to George. Just touching them now made him feel inexpressibly sad. "I guess that does it," he said. "Time to go." They all walked back to the waiting car. After they got in, Jennifer said, "We have to make another stop." "Oh?" Evans said. "Yes, we have to go to the Oakland Municipal Garage." "Why?" "The police are waiting for us."